the Lord. Amen? Now you can hear me. Now I got to do something else. Praise God for family. Amen? They come together and they help us out. Home is a special place, amen? A place where we find resources that we can use, that we can experience, that we can enjoy. Home is a special place. It's a place where we can work, and there's always work to do at home, amen? Always, it never ends. Home is a special place. It's a place where we can find peace and safety. Amen? If there's a place where we should feel like it's a good place to be, that should be home. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that God wants that and more for each one of our homes. But we also understand that there is the enemy who constantly is trying to divide, constantly is trying to set families apart, constantly is trying to bring pain and suffering into our world. So is there something that we as Christians, is there something that we as a church could be doing in order to make our homes strong, make our homes come together and be united? Because we know that a home divided falls, yes? But a home that is united can stand strong. Would that be the same for church? A church that is together can do amazing things. And I believe that God in His Word has left us instructions that many of us have read and studied, and many of us have put into practice. And it's by putting into practice these instructions that we will be able to reap the results that God wants to see in each one of our lives. You see, Adventists, we're great at information. Yes, we've written Bible commentaries and books and articles, and we study hard. But it's not enough to only hear the truth or listen to it. But it's important that we put it into practice. And how does that look? What is that like? Could that be possible for us who are living in the 21st century? Maybe yes for Adam and Eve. Maybe yes for Abraham. Maybe yes for Isaac and Jacob and Israel, who received this message time and time again. Maybe yes for the disciples who lived in the first century. But what about us who live in the 21st century? Does this still work? Does this still transform and change? Does this still bring about the things that God wants to see in each one of His children? I believe that if there's anyone who is interested in keeping us together, brothers and sisters, it's God. He calls Himself Father. Amen? And I know that all parents, they're always constantly looking out to stay connected. I was sharing during first service that, you know, my grandma and my mom, they can tell right away how I'm feeling. They're not watching me, they're not seeing me, but just by the tone of my voice, they could see or they could hear how I was feeling. My grandma passed away a year ago, but still reminds me that when I would call, she would say, "Sammy, ¿cómo estás?" I would just say, "Bien." And the way I said good, that let her know. And if things weren't good, she's, "¿Qué te pasa? What's going on? What's happening?" And I would have to share, "Oh, this is happening. This is happening." But praise God for family. A place where we can feel safe, where we can share, where we can come together, work together. through difficulties and challenges of life. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is interested in your family just like he's interested in my family. Amen? He wants to see us thrive. He wants to see us prosper. He wants us to see and experience joy and happiness in our homes. Jesus made his first miracle at a wedding. Yes? Beautiful. A beautiful day. And we hear of the parables that he shared, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. And when each one of these were found, there was great rejoicing at home. Should there be great rejoicing at home, brothers and sisters? There should be great rejoicing at home. So how does this happen? What is it that God gives us as instructions so that our homes can be that place where we can find rest, where we can find safety and security? Now, I would like to take you to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, passage that we know well, and look at some blessings that Jesus shared with those who had come to listen to his message that day. Now, I want to say, brothers and sisters, that this group was a group like you and me, a group that was looking for answers, a group that was looking for solutions, a group that was trying to do things better, a group that wanted to experience joy and happiness. And this word blessed that appears in many of our versions is the same word, makarios, that could be translated as happy is he, or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Is that a formula for happiness? You could say yes to that. If you were in that audience saying, I want to experience happiness and I want to experience it at home, would these words, would they have been sufficient for you to say, okay, thank you, I'm going home, and I want to experience this, what you have shared with me today? Jesus was speaking to Pharisees, Sadducees, men, women, youth, children. They were all there that day. They were all pressing because they were all needing something different. They were all looking for something better. And praise the Lord that he's always willing to give us something better. Amen? Always. I want to share a few quotes from, let me see here. I'm going to need your help, Troy. Thank you. From Desire of Ages. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sought to undo the work that had been wrought by false education and to give his hearers a right conception of his kingdom. Jesus was trying to remind his children what was home all about. Amen? We sing songs about heaven and how that's going to be our heavenly home. And for some reason, people had lost sight of this place that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit were preparing for each one of them. Can you go to the next one? The Lord can do nothing toward the recovery of man until convinced of his own weakness and stripped of all self-sufficiency, he yields himself to the control of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here you had a group of people who were coming desperately needing spiritual growth. They knew that there were so many things that they weren't doing, that they weren't experiencing. And Jesus said, praise the Lord that you sense your need and that you're looking for help. And it's, brothers and sisters, when we go to the throne of grace boldly, that God is able to give us his spirit. Amen? And with his spirit come many things. With his spirit comes love. Amen? With his spirit comes joy. Amen? With his spirit comes kindness and meekness and patience and self-control. And God is saying, I am the resource of all that you need to stay together. Not just as families, but I would say as a church family as well. Whatever we see the Bible speaking in regards to the church, those things we can apply to the family. Amen? And whatever we see the Bible speaking about families, we can also apply this to the church. And I believe Jesus here calling his disciples to realize their need of him. Such mourning, I'm sorry, this is the next quote. Real sorrow for sin is the result of the working of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit reveals the ingratitude of the heart that has slighted and grieved the Savior and brings us in contrition to the foot of the cross. Such mourning will lead us to the renunciation of sin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And it's not just the mourning that I'm used to. I don't know about you, but this is the mourning that I'm used to. When something happens to me, I usually turn to self and go, why me? Why is this happening to me? But the mourning that Jesus was talking about was a mourning that, God, why did I fail you again? Why did I do this? Knowing that you don't appreciate it. And it's a mourning that has to do with my sins took Jesus to the cross. And it's recognizing again that the only one who can bring comfort in moments like that is the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, working in our hearts, inviting us to recognize our condition, to recognize our need of God, to recognize that if we follow his instructions, we can experience happiness. Our next slide. If we possess the humility of our master, we shall rise above the sights, above the slights, the rebuffs, the annoyances to which we are daily exposed. And they will cease to cast a gloom over the spirit. The highest evidence of nobility in a Christian is self-control. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Can we go to the next slide, Troy? Only the unselfish heart, the humble and trustful spirit, shall see God as merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. Is that something that is needed today, brothers and sisters? Is that a picture of God that we need to see even more so at home? The only power that can create or perpetuate true peace is the grace of Christ. When this is implanted in the heart, it will cast out the evil passions that cause strife and dissension. It's as if God would say, if you follow these instructions, simple, you will be blessed, you will be happy. If you don't follow these instructions, your house can fall apart. And praise the Lord for instructions, brothers and sisters. Amen? And praise the Lord that He doesn't only give us instructions, but He is willing to teach us and lead us in the way that we should go. I'm going to try to bring this concept home. Bear with me. 2 weeks ago, Pastor? 2 weeks ago, 2 Sabbaths ago, did we have, when we went camping? Scott, it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago already. Wow. 2 weeks ago. Okay, 2 weeks ago, Scott invited a group of this church to go on a hike. And the goal, Scott, was 15 miles. Yes? And I asked Scott, I'm not a really good hiker, but please tell me what is it that I need to take? And Scott, is organized. He got on his email. He sent out the email. Let me know I'm going to need a sleeping bag. Sleeping bag important? Sleeping bag is very important. He said, you're going to need some warm clothes for the night because it does get cool up in the mountain. So pack your bag with something warm. I made sure I took my pajamas. Amen? I wasn't going to be cold. I took a little hoodie. I wanted to stay warm. I took warm socks, brothers and sisters. In fact, I took 2 pairs of warm socks. I did not want to be cold. And so packed that in there. Saw on the list there, water. I said, how much water? Well, plenty of water. We don't know if we're going to be able to find some water down there. So I thought a gallon is pretty good, yes? And a gallon also weighs a lot, brothers and sisters. So that gallon went into that bag. Sandals. I thought after hiking in my shoes, I'm going to need sandals. I'm going to need something comfortable because my shoes, my feet are going to be just aching. And I'm going to take that. So got that into the bag. Food, important. Very important. So praise the Lord for mother-in-laws. Amen. She got me some burritos. She made some bean burritos, some potato burritos, and I had burritos to share. Fruit and granola bars and other things that I packed in there. Toothpaste, toothbrush, I think that was it. Toilet paper, important. Took that. I was ready. At least I thought I was ready. I asked, how much should I take? He says, make sure you don't take over 30 pounds. I got to the scale, 30 pounds. Wow, 30 pounds. And together with Pastor Greg and another 4 members, right? We were 6 total. And we went and we started our hike. And we started to descend that mountain. We descended 2,400 feet, 2,500 feet from where we left the car. We took everything with us and we just walked down. It must have been around 5 when we started, Scott. And it got dark. And around 9, we said, we better stop here. How many of you know Bill Moreno? Yes? Bill Moreno came on that hike. He was with us. He was part of our family. Amen? And as Bill Moreno got to the bottom, he wasn't feeling too well from one of his legs. And we noticed it. In fact, Scott was the one who noticed it. And he said, no, this is not looking good. And that was only 4 miles into our 15-mile hike. And we said, why don't we rest? Let's rest here. Let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. We'll decide the next day what to do. And so everybody started unpacking their things. Pastor Greg found a really nice spot to put his sleeping bag. I found what I thought was a really nice spot to put my sleeping bag. And after an hour, when I went to look, things were moving on top of my sleeping bag. I was like, oh no, what's this? I had put it on top of an ant hole. I did not notice, so I had to get my sleeping bag and my stuff, and I thought, the food, they're going to go after that. So moved my things, and it was quiet, I believe, by 10, 9, maybe even earlier. It was quiet. They were all resting and looking at the stars, and it was beautiful, brothers and sisters. Morning came, and we had to make a decision. And the decision was, do we continue forward? We still have 12 miles to go. And this is something that impressed me a lot. We all came together. And as we gathered together to make a decision, what do we do? Do we split up in two groups? We had six. We could have easily said three and three, right? Three go up, back up with Brother Bill Moreno, and the other three continue on their 15-mile hike. But as we came together, we sensed, I would say, the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Greg said, you know, we came together. We should go back together. And brothers and sisters, was I happy? My 30-pound backpack felt like a 90-pound backpack. It did. I was so happy. On our way back, we had Brother Moreno come, and Scott stayed with him. We divided into twos, and he gave us some walkie-talkies so that we could stay connected as we hiked up. And we were concerned, you know, so we were carrying a lot of gear and water and making sure that he could make it back with us. Judy Moreno had said, Pastor Sam, one thing, I want Bill back. Okay? She let me know, I want him back. And so we had to make sure that he would come back. As we were going up the mountain, all of a sudden we see a truck driving down to the campsite where we had been. And 2 hours later, or an hour later, that same truck was coming back up, and Bill Moreno was in the truck. Amen? He was driving up. It was a Jeep, Liberty, going all the way to the top of that mountain. Was that an answer to prayer? That was an answer to prayer. And what I see, brothers and sisters, when we bring this back to family, is it important that we as family make decisions together? Amen? Is it important that we as family, as a church family, when we decide this is what is best for the family? And yes, maybe some of us were a little discouraged that we were not going to finish that trail, the 15-mile hike. And maybe some of us were super happy that we were not going to do the 50-mile hike. But at the end, we made a decision. And because of that decision, we were all able to make it back safely. Amen? If there's something that should characterize church, that should characterize families, is that we're not only thinking about ourselves, amen? But we're thinking about others. And Jesus wanted to see that among his disciples. He wanted to see that among the families. And we find in Matthew chapter 5 all these different teachings that he also shared with them. And some of them were difficult teachings. They weren't easy ones. Talking about murder. And where does it begin? Begins in the heart. And is murdering only something that we can do physically, or can we do that with our words? We can do that with our words. And Jesus saying, hey, watch out. Adultery, where does it start? In the heart. Can adultery devastate a home? It can devastate a home. And here Jesus speaking to the crowd. Divorce. Is that something that devastates homes? Promises. Serving one another. Loving your enemies. Not worrying. All these things Jesus said to this crowd. And he finished off by saying the following. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Amen? Are storms coming our way? We know they will come. Tornadoes, hurricanes will hit homes. And I'm talking here figuratively. They will try to destroy the very foundation of these homes. But praise the Lord for strong foundations. Amen? What do we know about sandy foundations? What happens to a house that's built on sand? Is it very stable? It's not. In fact, we've heard in the news of houses that are on hills and they just slide down because the foundation was not a solid foundation. In Mexico City, it's a city built basically on a lake. You have these massive buildings, cathedrals. You have a palace of fine arts that was built in the year 1904. And from the day that they built it, it began to sink. And it's literally probably sunken 6 feet into the ground. And they keep trying to keep it level so that it doesn't fall apart. But foundations are important, brothers and sisters. And God wants our families to put into practice what he has said in his word. Amen? Will the results be positive? Praise the Lord. He promises happiness. Amen? Will he get us through difficult times? He will. And I don't know what you are facing, and you don't know what I am facing. But praise the Lord that he knows what we're facing. Amen? Praise God that we have a beautiful church, and we have a beautiful fence. Amen? That protects this church. But is a fence enough to protect our church, brothers and sisters? Praise God for our deacons and deaconesses, amen? But is that enough to just protect our church? Praise God for our Sabbath school teachers, amen? But is that enough to protect our church? Brothers and sisters, we want to invite each one of us who are here to take care, especially of our little ones, amen? Are they precious in God's sight? Are they important and valuable to each one of us? They are. And as a church, we want to make this home, this church home, a place, a safe place for them, a secure place for them. And we need your help. We'll be sharing more details in the future about how we can all participate. But praise the Lord for our church family, that we're here for each other and that we're willing to take care of each other. I'm going to ask Troy if you can go to some Bible texts. And I already read Galatians 5:22-23. Colossians 3:12 says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Next two verses. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace and always be thankful. Can we be thankful today, brothers and sisters? Amen. We can be thankful today. And God knows exactly what brings people together. It's very clear what brings us together. It's love. If God is in our midst, brothers and sisters, is there anything we need to fear? There's nothing. If God is for us, who can be against us? Next text. Probably there's no text. Thank you. Next text. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 1:13, a text that we use a lot in weddings, but one that I believe important for us to, again, be reminded of, because it tells us of these important ingredients that we need at home, that we need to put into practice here at church and in our community. 1 Corinthians 13. And starting with verse 1, I'll start there. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But love never will. Amen? And that is what God, brothers and sisters, is wanting to pour upon each one of us. Is that something that you need today? It's something I need today. I need more of God's love. And I believe by His Holy Spirit, we will experience joy like never before. Amen? We will experience peace like never before. Even though things change, plans change. God always wants the best for us, doesn't He? And He will lead us if we let Him. He will lead us. By God's grace, our homes will not fall. Amen. At this moment,